Good afternoon, brethren. Glad to see all of you. We had some beautiful weather for Thanksgiving, and I hope that everyone had a good Thanksgiving. I'm sure they did. Glad to see everyone. I was looking at the audience there, the seating of the audience. I remember it's been several years ago all the managers were flying to Cancun, Mexico. And the pilot requested, and I still don't know why, but there was on one side of the aisle, it was almost filled to capacity. On the other side, there wasn't but just four or five people. So he requested that we make the aisles even, when and somebody said, well, if he didn't do that, you know, the plane would be flying at a tilt position. I said, well, maybe that's right. I don't know. But anyway, we're glad to see wherever you seated. That's good. It doesn't matter. I'm glad that you're here. Last Thursday, you know, our nation, United States of America, observed a national holiday, Thanksgiving, dedicated to remembering the many blessings America now enjoys. You know, if we take a moment, we can see the rolling hills, the plains is filled with minerals, riches, fertile soil, grows endless crops of grains, and our waterways streaming with fish, pastures feeding millions of livestock. You know, and of course, when we asked ourselves how much we have been blessed, another question comes to mind. How grateful are we for these blessings? And perhaps a more crucial question, do we always remember to ask God's blessings on what we have? Show our blessings for the things that He has given us. So I've titled today's sermon, Danger of Ingratitude. And my purpose, I want to show the source of all our blessings and how easy it is for us to forget the things that God has blessed us with. And it's serious. You know, the history goes back. The origin of the Thanksgiving goes back all the way to the 1600. The first Thanksgiving celebration was in 1621, and it lasted 3 days. Plymouth Colony Governor William Bradford issued a Thanksgiving proclamation, and for 3 days, the pilgrims feasted with their Indian guests on wild turkey and venison. They had traveled many miles over the waterways, and they were very appreciative to be in this country. The days of Thanksgiving were celebrated radically until George Washington proclaimed a nationwide day of Thanksgiving on November the 26th, 1789. He made it very clear that this day should be dedicated to prayer and giving thanks to God. And I think, just looking at the news, I don't know whether the COVID had anything to do with this or not, but it seems this year that more people were mentioned being thankful than it has been in a long time. And the days of Thanksgiving were celebrated back in those days to give thanks to God, and you know, and that's what we should do. So for over 376 years, with few exceptions, this holiday has been kept. But what does it mean to us? Do we really show our gratitude to God, the bountiful blessings, or are we merely in some way taking all of our blessings for granted? Our forefathers recognized the importance of giving thanks to God. Notice part of the proclamation, and this is just part of it, part of the proclamation of thanksgiving that was delivered by President Abraham Lincoln on October the 20th, 1863. I'll just quote what he wrote here. Quote, "It has pleased Almighty God to prolong our national life another year. Now, therefore, I, Abraham Lincoln, President of the United States, do hereby appoint and set apart last Thursday of November next as a day which I desire to be observed by all my fellow citizens, wherever they may then be, as a day of thanksgiving and praises to Almighty God, bountiful creator and ruler of the universe. And I do further recommend to my fellow citizen, as foresaid, that on that occasion, they do reverently humble themselves in the dust and thence offer up penitent and fervent prayers and supplications to the great disposer of events for a return to the instable blessings of peace, union, harmony throughout the land, which has pleased him to assign as a dwelling place for ourselves and for our prosperity throughout all generations." Abraham Lincoln had some spiritual qualities about him. And I think about him a lot because he made some good decisions in his lifetime. One of the greatest basic weakness of human nature is that of ingratitude. Ingratitude and selfishness are bad for us as Christians, individually and collectively. When we search the scriptures, brethren, we find ingratitude contributes to our nation's moral crumbling culture. It produces vain imaginations and foolish hearts. It can and will weaken us spiritually. Let's notice the inward substance of gratitude. Looking at the inward substance of gratitude. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, we'll just read this one verse. "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." Have we thought about the love God and Jesus Christ have for us? And the responsibilities because of his love for us, that he made mankind as overseers of all the things that he had created on the earth. How great God is in his feelings and love for us. But how many of us really thank God for what we have, what he is doing to create us in his image? How many of us thank God for every breath we take, for every action he takes for our benefit? I was thinking about this not long ago. It would shock most of us here today if we had a count from the day you were born, the count of breath that you have taken up until this moment. It would shock you. Because this Now, we go back to Genesis, where that God states that he breathed into individual that he created, the breath of life. I don't know how much we think about this, but it's good to meditate on it, because without that, none of us would be here today. We can't survive without breathing. That's a fact. And God is responsible in a way of his love to us to keep us breathing. Because when it's gone, there's no amount of machinery or anything else can replace that. It's gone. And only God can replace it. So it's good to think about the things that we may just let flow through our minds from time to time and never realize just how much we should depend on God. We are often encouraged to pray for the brethren among us, for their afflictions, strength, and healing. God hears our prayers, but do we take the time to thank God for his intervention on their behalf in dealing with the request that we have prayed for him to have over those we prayed for? Could this be, and I don't know, but could this be a reason why more of our brethren are not healed completely? Because we fail to thank God for his healing, the brethren that we have prayed for? I don't know. God knows. But it's something to think about. Luke chapter 17. Turn over to Luke chapter 17. We will begin reading in verse 11. Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And you can read more about this in the way of the leprosy, because leprosy was a serious disease. And in some way, looking at and reading about the history of leprosy, it was in some ways like the COVID. Because if the person had a leprosy, they were banned from the villages, from their homes, for the camps. They had to be isolated. They were, in other words, quarantined from all those around them until they were healed. So in 2 Kings, you can read about this, and then in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, you can also get more information about leprosy. So when, continuing now in verse 14, so when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it was, they went, they were cleansed. Now one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell on his face at the feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found to return to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So Jesus was on the border between Galilee and Samaria. He was met by a band of 10 lepers. And you know, the scripture said they cried out to him, so they were not close by, but maybe standing. I just kind of picture them being away somewhere, standing on a ridge or close by to yell, you know, at Christ. And we know also that the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans, yet in this band there was at least one Samaritan. But in the common tragedy of their leprosy, they forgotten they were Jews and Samaritans, and only remembered that they needed to be healed. So it was, as I said, a serious situation for those to have leprosy. Now, let's turn to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 13. This is what a leopard... This is what he must do when he had leprosy. Leviticus 13, verses 44 through 46. This is what the leper should say. He is a leprous man. He is unclean. The priest shall surely pronounce him unclean. His sore is on his head. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean all the days he has the sore. He shall be unclean. He is unclean and shall dwell alone. His habitation shall be outside the camp. So it was the isolation with this disease, kind of like COVID. People with COVID. So 3 points to notice here in these verses of the scriptures. Back in Luke chapter 17. These men knew who Jesus was. They lifted up their voices and cried out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And point number 2, there were no doubt in their minds that Jesus is the healer of all diseases. Point 3, only one of them, and one of the ten, returned to give God thanks. Now you notice that the priest had to declare their uncleanness. The priest didn't do the healing. God did the healing. You know, they cried out to God, so Christ healed immediately. When they returned, it was only one out of the 10. What happened to the other 9? They were showing ingratitude. Often we are ungrateful to one another. So it is with giving thanks to God for all his blessings toward us. When we pray in desperate intensity, the tense passes, time passes, and sometimes it's easy for us to forget to thank God. Psalm 103. We will read verses 1 through 5. Psalm 103, Verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. From time to time, the world was created. From the time that the world was created, man has failed to appreciate, in a lot of ways, give thanks to God for his goodness. We may all have been at one point in time guilty of this. I hope not, but it's easy to do. Romans chapter 1. Read two verses from Romans chapter 1. Read those from the NIV. Romans chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what have been made, so that men are without excuses. Although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, their foolish hearts were darkened. Nature shows us a God of power, a God of might, a God of intelligence, a God of detail, a God of love and mercy, a God of order and beauty. From the time the world was created, man has seen the earth, the skies, and all the universe. Brethren, we can see clearly his invisible qualities. Therefore, we have no excuse. Let's again turn to another portion of Scripture in Psalm 92. Read this from the Living Translation, the New Living Translation. Psalm 92, we will read from verse 1 through 6. Psalm 92. Verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to his Most High. It is good to proclaim your unfailing love in the morning, your faithfulness in the evening, accompanied by the harp and the lute and the harmony of the lyre. You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing joy because of what you have done. O Lord, what great mercies, miracles you do. How deep are your thoughts? Only an ignorant person would not know this. Only a fool would not understand. So you see some of the things that goes on in our society today, and you wonder, what are these people thinking of? In Matthew chapter 5, let's notice one verse there. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. This was a part of the Sermon on the Mount Christ gave to his disciples and those that were listening in close by. In verse 3, he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So blessed means happy or fortunate. The poor in spirit are those who consciously put their trust in God. They depend on God and not on themselves. So the Hebrew word poor here is ani. A-N-I, and was used in Christ's days to describe the humble and the helpless people, those who put their whole trust in God. So being poor in spirit is an attitude of poverty in all respects, but one that is poor in spirit demonstrates gratitude of thankfulness, generates joy of thanksgiving toward others. So where do we stand in all of this as we consider our gratitude to God? Do we believe God owes us something? I hope not. Do we believe that everything we have is a gift worthy of praises to God? Do we believe God owes us blessings because He called us into His church? Do we think because we have endured trials and tests that God owes us anything? Brethren, these are daily questions worthy of our attention as we give thanks to God. There's so many things that we should thank God for. There's so many millions of people in our nation now that could care less one way or the other. Let's notice the danger. There is a danger of ingratitude and what it leads to. Many, many problems, sometimes even death. Ingratitude can lead us in many situations to death. Satan has caused mankind to believe that we can go through life without any help or assistance from anyone. That's a wrong thought. We need each other. I need you. Hopefully we all need each other. But the way that Satan, and I repeat this a lot, the way Satan works is he works things that you don't realize what he's doing. He works it very easy and slowly where you don't understand a lot of time what he's doing. And he gets to us in little small ways that we don't even recognize. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. Read verses 1 through 5. An Apostle Paul here with teaching and being with the young minister there, Timothy. And he says in 2 Timothy 3, verse 1, "You should know this, Timothy," and this is from the New Living Translation, "You should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffers at God, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving, unforgiving. They will slander others, have no self-control. They will be cruel, have no interest in what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, and love pleasure rather than God. They will act as if they are religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. You must stay away from people like this." This was the admonishment that Paul gave Timothy in this chapter. Now, the reason for this as I said before, that Satan makes a sneaky approach. He doesn't try to warn you about what he's doing. He comes upon you on a sneaky approach. And he plants all kind of thoughts in your mind. It all comes from Satan himself. Let's notice Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. Begin reading in verse 12. This is from the King James readings, translations. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, the son of morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who were weakened, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So it was not enough for Satan to be the covering cherub at God's throne. It was not enough for Satan to have the lordship over the earth. And over one-third of the angels. No, he wanted to be compatible to God. He was ungrateful in his position. So he led rebellion, one-third of the angels, followed him in an attempt to take over the throne of God. We know the story. This kind of attitude can and will land us in trouble if we allow it to happen to us. It becomes a plague of discontent that soon affects others and even those in the church of God. So we should be careful, brethren, that we don't grumble, complain, because we may have someone sitting next to us for the first time, and if they, this could rub off on them in some way. So what should our attitude be, brethren? A truly humble person will never rebel against God because they know that every breath of life depends on God. It is a gift of God to us. So we have so many people in the church today that are thankful. God is grateful for that. But there are so many people in the world, as I said before, that could care less one way or the other. And these people was recorded in the scriptures for our admonition. So turn to Numbers. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. Begin reading in verse 4. Then they journeyed from Mount Hor, by the way of this Red Sea, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food, no water, and our soul loves or detests the worthless of this bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Many of the people of Israel died. Verse 7, therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. So the Israelites recognized the error of their ways with grumbling and complaining toward God and Moses. They repented of their ways, asking Moses to pray to God, asking him to take away the serpents from them. Verse 7. We go back there for a moment and just to look into that a little deeper. But God did not take away the serpents as they requested, but instead made a way for the people to survive the bites. Moses was instructed by God to make a fiery serpent and place it on the pole in verse 9. Why did God not take away the fiery serpents, as Moses asked him? What was the reason here and the lesson here for them to learn? And what did the fiery serpent on the pole have to do with their survival? Let's notice, God did not remove these deadly snakes from among the people because there was a lesson they need to learn. The lesson was to show them the danger of being unthankful, danger of ingratitude. You must remember when we go back to the children coming out of the land of Egypt, there was lives that was, God took the lives of a lot of the Egyptians, their firstborns, their cattle, and a lot of things to change Pharaoh's mind. But you see, looking back, Israel forgot about this. They forgot about all the things that God had done, all the lives that God had taken to change, and all the miracles that took place to change Pharaoh's mind. They forgot about that. But they grumbled against Moses and Aaron. They forgot about 450 years of slavery under the hands of their taskmasters. And those taskmasters were cruel. If there was a slave that wasn't producing his quality, quantity of whatever they were doing, they were whipped till blood ran down their backs. Cruelty. For 450 years, they cried out to God, and God heard their prayers. So he set up a plan to bring the children of Israel out of slavery. But on their way to the promised land, they forgot about that. And I think of a lot of things, brethren, if we can look back on our personal lives, things that God has done for us, are we thankful for those things? Do we give praises to God for those things? Do we appreciate what God has done, what he's doing, and how far he has brought us in this life? We go back to what Paul was saying to Timothy. You know, in the last days, perilous times will come. You know, it's dangerous even to go to walk through the mall anymore. I mean, you walk through the mall and then somebody decides to go start shooting. People in this, people that die, you see it on the TV, the news, people that go to bed at night, and all of a sudden somebody decides to come by and drive by shooting. There's a lady in Greensboro now that her family has not found. She was shot. She was already in the bed, killed her. We don't know who did it. The police don't know who did it. Dangerous times out there. What I'm trying to point out this afternoon, brethren, is we cannot pray to God enough for His blessings toward us. I wouldn't be nowhere else. I don't know what this society is doing. I don't know what they're going to do except destroy themselves if God don't come back. Jesus Christ don't come back to this earth. What am I saying? This band of God's called people, brother, we must stick together. We must love and treat each other with dignity, with thanksgiving. I can't explain to you how blessed we are for God's mercy and His protection for us. Numbers, since we're there, Numbers chapter 14, verse 2 through 4. Numbers 14, verse 2 through 4. All of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if we had died in this wilderness, why has the Lord brought us to this land, fall by the sword, and our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?" Verse 4, "So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" Now, this is a group that got together. They decided that they wanted to carry this out. God was displeased with them. Now, if you want to follow up on this, it would be good to read chapter 16 of Numbers. You will see the results of being ungrateful. Israel was so blatantly ungrateful to God that they wanted to go back to Egypt, where they had been enduring with hundreds of years of brutality. They did not appreciate the astounding blessings that God provided for them. We look at our society today and we can say the same thing. People out there, they don't appreciate God. Our society has been caught up in a materialism, television commercials, programs, movies, shopping malls, new cars. This mentality, in turn, has caused many to believe ideology that if they want these things, these luxuries, their life will not be the same if they don't acquire them. So it sets up mentality of greed and want. Before calling a national day of fasting, U.S. President Abraham Lincoln said this: "We have been the recipients of choicest blessings in heaven. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power, so no other nation ever has grown. But we have forgotten God." So brethren, my thoughts, my wishes, I pray with all my being that none of us here today ever forget God. In conclusion, we have seen the blessings that God has placed in the United States of America. We have seen what ingratitude can do, nations as well as individuals. We saw from Luke chapter 17 the ingratitude of 9 men that were healed of leprosy. So where do we stand today? And what should our mindset be when it comes to gratitude? Let's go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." How much do we appreciate God's word? How much do we thank God for his Sabbath, for his holy days, for our calling, for the truth he has revealed to us through his word? To develop and maintain the gratitude that pleases God, he gives us the answer. We find this answer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the final scripture. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Hope that we can remember, if we have not been doing it, remember to give praises to God always and thanks. Thank God in all of our doings and beings, for he is the keeper of us and he will protect us and guide us in these troublesome times. So I hope you have a good remaining Sabbath and take care.